Hey gang, welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. That's the place where you can go, click on the donate button and send shekels. Or you can go to nationalbugle.com and scroll down just a little bit and click on the co-certified ad and download the co-certified app. I think I mentioned the kosherquestion.com. It's kosherified.com is where you could go also, and you can see lots of interesting stuff on the Kosher Question, or you can just click on that link on my site. But the kosherified app, which answers the kosher question. Do you all want to eat kosher food today? I don't. I will take your calls. We had great calls yesterday and the day before. 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Well, there was big news overnight. What was the big news? It depends on where you were looking. What the White House wanted to be as the big news was the President Trump getting up in the middle of the night and dragging Melania down to, where would that have been, Andrews Air Force Base, I suppose, in Maryland, to greet the three Americans, whose names most people probably couldn't pronounce. Three Korean Americans, I think they were probably all born in South Korea, who were released by North Korea. They were, I don't know much about their case, but they very well may have been engaged in activities that North Korea would deem illegal. But at any rate, they're released, and that's fine. Probably nobody was hurt, and that's all fine. It would be a big coup, because this is something that North Korea does, is hold prisoners, or, you know, in the past they have kidnapped Japanese off beaches or you know, from tourist areas in Europe or beaches in Japan, and brought them to North Korea to train spies often. I play North Korean music because I like it. Not because I condone everything that North Korea does, but North Korea's got its reasons for doing things, for better or worse. That would be the big news, and it would be a coup, a good sign. And, of course, President Trump will meet with the, oh gosh, how do you say his name? The revered leader, no, the revered Supreme Commander. That's his name. The revered Supreme Commander Kim Jong-un on June 12th in Singapore. Time and date set. Very good. That's all very good. And if you go to Bloomberg News, for instance, that was the head story. That's the lead story. And if you turned on CNN News at 3 or 4 in the morning, they would have been talking about Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels and all that, like they always do. If you go to, let's see, Reuters or AP, you do see something else. And the way Reuters puts it, Israel targets Syria after Iranian rocket fire. The way the AP puts it, it's not even the top story anymore. Israel hits dozens of Iranian targets in Syria after barrage. So, the idea that... So, what you're getting is some of the media is actually kind of burying this story, and then some of the media is presenting it, although with this massive twist that you have Israel is responding to an attack on it by Iran. But of course, if you've been paying attention to the news, and you actually have to pay attention because you won't get it spoon-fed to you, you know that for weeks intensively and for months and really nonstop, you've had Israel bombing Syria, in particular Iranian military assets in Syria. Why are there Iranian military assets in Syria? Because Iran was invited into Syria to protect Syria against the Israeli-backed, not just Israel, but Zio America, Saudi Arabia, but the Team Israel-backed ISIS and Al-Qaeda, that these foreign invading forces backed by Israel, Zio America, Obama, Trump now, although Trump's equivocated on it, Saudi Arabia, protecting Syria from these people. That they're twisting this now into, Iran attacked Israel. Well, when Iran finally retaliated for having its forces bombed and killed, can you hold the background noise just for a second? When Iran finally retaliated, how did they retaliate? By missiles against Israeli forces in Syria. Where were they? Golan Heights. Where's the Golan Heights? That is occupied Syria. Occupied, stolen, annexed by Israel, but not a single country on earth recognizes that annexation. And the United States signed on to a UN Security Council's resolution declaring the annexation null and void. Paul from New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good. I wanted to make a few points, actually. I was, aware of the news about this Ukrainian-Russian oligarch named Viktor Vekselberg.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny the way the press does it. They did it again. They said, oh, he's a Russian oligarch. Well, actually, you look him up on Wikipedia, and he was born in Ukraine. Also, he's Jewish.
Yeah.
Also, he donates funds to Holocaust museums.
Okay.
So, wow, he's really Russian. Just like an average Russian, but they always try to pin it, on the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about this whole Russian scandal, for some reason, anything a Jewish person who lives in Russia, all of a sudden he is a Russian for anything he does bad, and that can go to the. The Russian influence in the elections. I mean, is it really the Russians doing it, or is it Jews in Russia using Russia as a base for their computer hacking? And
mm-hmm.
then just slapping out an IP address from Russia,
mm-hmm.
and then hacking into Hillary's Clinton's computer. And then after the Mossad gang packs their bags and goes back to Israel, who gets holding the bag? Russians. And
mm-hmm.
it's an ongoing, mode of the Israelis.
You're so right.
Frame the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always hear about Russian oligarchs and Russian mafia, and these Russian oligarchs are Jewish. The Russian mafia was Jewish. Please continue.
Yeah, and so, and this kind of relates also of Bibi Netanyahu, how he's, he comes out with his dossier, and, in public and trying to blame everything on the Iranians and the Iranians. And everybody just jumps the gun. Nobody in the press, no Hannity's, none of the other neocons, went to double-check his claims. And everybody's repeating it by rote as though everything Bibi Netanyahu tells us is the truth. Now, personally, I think Bibi Netanyahu is one of the characters, the main characters behind 9/11. They say, first, it's interesting, he had studied architecture. I'm sure he was back in the, part
of the plotting
squad in the 80s. What?
He studied architecture?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And, he's one of these dual allegiance so-called Americans. I think he spent a lot of time in Philly and then,
But he did spend a lot of time in Philadelphia. Does he have American citizenship?
Probably. Who knows? Listen, their citizenship is as shallow as you can get, you know, and they're willing to hop the fence in a second. You know, as soon as there's the slightest inkling of persecution, off they go. They pack their bags with the silver, right?
With the shekels. I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. It's an excellent point. If you were to look at all of the Jews in the world today, for instance, how many of them have dual citizenship between Israel and U.S. or Israel and Russia or Israel and some other country? And also, how many of them have moved from one country to another country during their lifetime? And I'm sure you'd find this is really, really high amount, a very significant amount. But sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to emphasize your point.
Well, this alludes to what Professor McDonald said in The Culture of Critique, how or one of those fine books of his in that trilogy, is that the Jews model their nation wrecking on the Old Testament because, you know, they supposedly were slaves in Israel and supposedly
slaves in Egypt. You mean?
I mean in Egypt. Yeah. And then what they do is they pack their bags and they leave to the next country after they loot it. And it even says it in, I believe, Exodus, that they took the gold with them or the silver with them. Mm-hmm. And so that sets up a model of how they can be the peripatetic nation despoilers as they go from one nation to the next and not embarrassed about it by all. You know, they've been kicked out of 200 nations, you know, and some of them several times again and again. And they still seem to come back at opportunistic to further despoil them until they get thrown out again. This is a never-ending cycle in history. You know, and so this goes to people like Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, I think, lived in Austria first, and then I think he was to dodge the draft, he hightailed it elsewhere.
Well, let's see. He's known for having worked in the patent office in Zurich, Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
And that would have been around the turn of the century.
Right, right.
I'm not sure where he was born. He may well have been born in Austria.
Right. Interestingly, marrying another Jewess, I believe. And then
He was married also to a non-Jewess, and some people feel that he might have even drawn on her work at least partially plagiarized her. But I don't know a whole lot about that. Please. Oh, and he was born in Ulm, Germany, apparently. But please go on.
Yeah, but you can see the nation hopping. And then if any potential wind of persecution comes along, it's off to the next one. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever, we dumb goyim are never supposed to draw a connection like, hey, why is it they're always getting picked on? Is it something they do? And it also shows their absolute lack of affinity for the countries they dwell in, the Gentile countries they dwell in. You know, we just read a while ago about how, you know, there's persecution in France. And, you know what, maybe one or two people wearing a yarmulke got a bloody nose in the street. But after that, they're all ready to pack their bags and go to Israel. So that shows exactly how deeply they feel about France. Mm-hmm. They're one bloody nose away from migrating. That's how deeply they feel about France. You see? And this is what I'm saying about this overall pattern concerning them and why we shouldn't go along with them in anything, because they're so eager to switch sides, switch allegiances, and despoil the in total disregard for the nations they dwell in.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're dopey goyim, like cheerleaders, like the neocon talk show hosts who work for Robert Iger over at Disney. They're all like just chiming in with Bibi and ready to bomb Iran and working up all the Gentiles on basically was a failure of Jewish long-term thinking and strategy about the plans in Syria. You know, this is blowback because of the, you know, the treachery of international Jewish, machinations, thinking they can send their, jihadi armies into Syria, and the Iranians came in to rescue their fellow Shiites, which some would think was normal.
Indeed. I checked Einstein's first wife. She was a Serbian mathematician. She was his fellow student in Zurich. She was a legitimate mathematician and physicist herself. Whether he stole ideas from her without accreditation or not, I don't know. And apparently his second wife was his own first cousin. I don't know how high profile this particular show is. I know that you've got the ADL and the SPLC. They monitor a lot of shows. I don't know if they monitor this one or not. But I just want to say to any Jewish monitor who's listening to this, come on, get real. If you listen to this show, if you monitor this show, you know this isn't about hate. This is about reality. And you know I don't personally express animosity to Jews as individuals, but we talk about the group behavior. We talk about what Jews are doing as a group. And can you find fault with what I'm saying or what Paul is saying? Okay? You're on the wrong side. This is wrong. And, you know, wake up, because it always, what goes around, what you all send around always comes back around. It always does. And it's not because I'm trying to push it back around. I'm not trying to push violence or hardship on anybody. But don't you think you're making your bed and you might wind up having to sleep in it? What do you think of that, Paul?
It's absolutely true. They really need to, like, as I've said on your show before, they need to take a look at the man in the mirror and take a hard look at themselves, their own group behavior, and modify that. It's not that hard a thing to do. Jesus had urged them to do that very thing, and they rejected him at the time. The reality is a lot less Jewish, a lot more Amish. You know, you can learn from the Amish of how to basically live a nice, pastoral, peaceful life on your own and not be hated internationally. Mm-hmm. I mean, the very fact that they have a special name dedicated only to the hatred for them might indicate you're doing something wrong. You know?
It might. I mean, how are we no more colonized? How are we no less colonized by Jews today than India was by Britain? And there may well have been a Jewish role in the British colonization of India, but leave that aside. At least it was open what was going on, and at least when England left, India was basically intact demographically. They didn't transform the country. Now, you know, you could look at small places like Fiji, for instance, and there was a demographic transformation. But the Jews are transforming our country. They're replacing our people. They're suppressing the birth rates and encouraging the death rates, things like the opiate crisis, and then bringing in massive numbers of foreign people. And the only reason that this isn't officially recognized as a war crime is because this isn't officially recognized as an occupation. But how is America today not a colony of the Jews? We're just up on the break, but Paul, you are welcome to hang around till the other side of the break.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Okay, I didn't hear the music. I'm not hearing the commercials.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. So Paul, you know, maybe the Jews killed Christ. That was 2,000 years ago. I would say let bygones be bygones. And maybe in the medieval era they were drinking the blood of Gentile children. But I'd say, well, if in the medieval era people were going medieval on each other, you know, still. But the thing is, look at the history of the 20th century. Look at everything that happened in the 20th century. Look at what we have witnessed in our own lifetimes. Look at what's going on today. There's no change. This behavior where they're completely paranoid and delusional and are just pursuing their own paranoid view of their ethnic tribal interests and trampling everybody else, just completely ruthless. You look at what happened in Russia during the 1990s when they took over, or you look at what happened, what's going on in America today, you look at the Middle East. Who's the conspiracy theorist here? You can respond to that, or you can just go on your own tangent if you want.
Well, no, it seems like they have guilt in advance for what they're about to do. Let's hope they do. That would be nice to know, but they can't seem to stop themselves from going forward with their generally diabolical agenda, is the way I see it. And the latest agenda seems to be, like trying to get dopey Gentiles to go fight for them in Iran. And, you know, before I go, the one thing I wanted to point out is if you've been watching about the Israeli strikes in Syria, there's a very healthy sign concerning this, and you know what it is? It's they really don't want to set foot in Syria. They're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are sending missiles off from jets from far away, and so that shows they're afraid of the Russian anti-aircraft missiles. They're using missiles and maybe some long-range artillery, but otherwise, they're so afraid of the Iranians because what happened in 2006. They really are. You might think they're strong and they're tough, but the reality is they're a bunch of cowards, mm-hmm. and they're scared to heck of the Iranians. So that's why I urge the Iranians over there to distribute the military hardware, move up as close to the Israeli border as you can, and dig tunnels and dig trenches and foxholes and tunnels and camouflage them and make sure you hide yourself from the infrared cameras and from the infrared radar and all the rest of that, and just keep digging and digging, and the Israelis are going to be so afraid they're going to have to meet at the table, because that's what happened in Lebanon. The Israelis made this foray. They think they're a bunch of tough guys, and they're going into southern Lebanon, and these well-dug and entrenched Hezbollah fighters beat the pants off the Israeli army and sent them with their tail behind their leg. So with typical Israeli method is to how to get the dumb Gentile American dupes to fight and die for them. And what our job should be is to make sure, alert our fellow Americans that we shouldn't go along with their plans. Let the first soldiers be Israelis. Let them go fight and die for their country and leave Americans out of this.
Yeah, I don't think there's a big appetite among Americans for more war. Certainly there's less so now than there was after 9/11, a lot less so. Okay. We're going to have another break in about 2 minutes. I don't have another caller waiting. Callers, sometimes I get a flood and sometimes I don't. I want to analyze a little bit of what I think might be going on. But like I say, when I say I think might be going on, I don't have secret sources of information. I just get everything from the press like everyone else. But if you want to hang around and chime in on it, you're welcome. That's going to extend over the break. But you had Netanyahu yesterday or the day before yesterday. He was over in Moscow for meetings with President Putin, and so one would think that likely this Israeli attack on Iranian forces in Syria was discussed, and likely Putin said, well, if you do this, we'll turn a blind eye. If you do that, we're going to strike back. There was probably something like that. And so, you could look at it and you could say, okay, so Putin's kind of selling out the Iranians. What was he supposedly getting in return? Supposedly he was getting in return that Netanyahu and Israel would use their influence in the United States to stop the vilification of Russia and improve relations, whether this means ending the Mueller probe or whatever. And there you would say, okay, well, is Netanyahu selling out his, the Jews in America who are gung-ho on vilifying Russia and, stymieing Trump, because this would have implications for immigration policy. We're going to go off on break in just a second, but you're welcome to respond to that. I don't know what you think of that.
I would just think, wait until after the break.
Okay, yeah, do that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Patrick Slattery with Paul from New Jersey. And I just want to thank RBN for giving me this show so I can have conversations like this with people like Paul. Paul, what is your take on what's going on? You still there, Paul?
Yeah, Patrick.
Yep.
Yeah, I just think this is the unforeseen consequences of their clever little schemes. The Mossad drummed up in their little think tanks and their little war rooms and with their war gaming. They think they're so clever. And this is something they didn't foresee. Now they have Iranians on the border of Israel in Syria. And they should have thought about that before they started it all off. They were the ones behind the scene thinking ISIS is cute and it's funny. You know, and I got an angle on this because I'm part Italian. And I tell you, when I saw that ISIS had destroyed the monuments built by the Romans in Palmyra, I was furious. And I knew, and I see it as the Israelis with their little, you know, jihadi agents and mercenaries trying to erase Italian history in the Middle East. So that's my angle on this. I think it's a disgrace that they let it happen. Nobody interfered. Our country said nothing about it. Right? While they're destroying these historical monuments. And the Israelis probably thought, oh, well, that's good. We'll erase their history, and then there'll be a detached, deracinated people that they can easily manipulate, speaking of the Syrians.
And, of course, think of the erasure of history in Iraq after our Zionist-led invasion of Iraq and the museums being looted and destroyed.
Exactly. So let the karma come back to them through the Iranians. And, you know, we haven't declared war officially about the Iranians, so it's not treason on my part to say this yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or sedition yet. But I root for the Iranians. I want the Iranians to be a constant thorn in the paw of the Israelis. And besides, them and the Russians are the only decent people in the region mm-hmm. that are trying to preserve those ancient monuments.
That's right. That's right.
So that's Iran, my angle on this.
Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, and Russia, that's team civilization.
Exactly. And if the Israelis want to choose the wrong side of history, let people remember. Let's know who's behind it. Let's know who came to the rescue of ISIS time and time again. Who are the people plotting this? Who are behind it? And remember that and say, you don't seem like our friends. You want us to go and, you know, like fight for you and volunteer to fight to help Israel, but you let this happen to, you know, some people who have respect for the achievements of their people a long time ago, and they didn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that I just want to bring that point up because part of my why I got a grudge on what's going on over there.
Okay, you know? Well, I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go.
Thank you for your call, Paul. Yep. Okay, next we'll go to another big-brained caller. This is William from Montana. William, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, William.
So much has happened. First, I wanted to tell you that I listened to, I was glad you gave us a heads-up on that discussion, the No White Guilt broadcast yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that was excellent. I think that those type of things are what we really need to have these sort of round robins with people who have been in the fight for a long time. And then I thought the questions were good, and I thought it was very nice to have that sort of real time or seemingly real time when I listened to it. Discussion, and I think that's a very good way to go, because I think a lot of times, you know, even on alternative radio, we're really limited in our time, and so much of the discussion is always sort of, I think more truthful sound bites, but we really don't have a chance to really get into things, and I learned a lot yesterday. And those type of long endurance discussions where people who know a lot have a chance to really dig a little bit deeper, you start seeing, more and more people can start, connecting the dots
mm-hmm.
when you have discussions like that. So I commend you for doing it.
Well, thank you for plugging it. And I just want to say that if you listen to the David Duke show every day, you probably heard most of these points, but not all. But today, David Duke, who's got a lot of background in Syria and in these issues, had a very well-prepared talk. It was basically a lecture. I piped in every now and then for clarification, but it was really excellent. And if you know somebody who... either you want to show them how rational and, well-spoken and well-thought Dr. Duke is, or you want to give them in-depth background on this very issue of what's going on in Syria and Israel's role in destroying the Middle East, the show that we just finished, you could find it in davidduke.com. It's up there now. That's one to send around. So, but William, what's your take on, because I know you're a serious researcher, you've got a lot of background, and, you heard my speculation about, brief speculation, that there's a little bit of Putin selling out Iran to an extent, and maybe a little bit of Netanyahu trying to... he's trying to get some advantage in his attack on the Iranians by maybe selling out the Jews in America who are pushing both the Russia hoax and also pushing immigration, because using the Russia hoax, they're able to stymie Trump's immigration plans. What do you think of that?
Well,
I mean, I'm not talking about 3D chess, but I'm just talking about, you know,
in a sense, a part of that applies because, you know, the type of discussion and the type of presentation that goes down in the West is really pretty juvenile. I mean, it's usually painted in some type of this or that, you know, nothing in between. I mean, when I listen to it on pretty much a daily basis, I mean, some of these press conferences in Russia can go on for 2.5 hours. And nobody says to a reporter or someone who asked a question, oh, I'll have my people get back to you. I mean, it's like, well, what are we doing here? If you don't have the answers, why are you up there giving a press conference if you don't have the answers? I mean, we didn't come here to be, you know, phoned later on. So
now you're talking about press conferences with Kremlin spokesmen or
I'm just talking about, you know, Preskov or just some of the discussions that they have on you know, sort of news programs. They have a lot of very, very extensive discussions, and they go on for hours. This isn't just like a 40-minute quick type thing. So when you start talking about, well, what was all this about? You know, like, why did Putin invite Netanyahu to sit with him? Were they cutting deals behind? Well, I heard one commentator that said, you know, it's that process of, you know, keep your enemies closer and let them come and do their best. I mean, when you're dealing with Putin and when you're dealing with Lavrov and Preskov, I mean, when you're dealing with these people, you're dealing with another level of sophistication. And what was interesting, if you followed that very closely, I mean, Netanyahu is in big trouble at back home. You don't get that in the Western press.
No, so he's actually pretty desperate, and there's lots of demonstrations against him on pretty much a daily basis, and he could be out, right?
And also, you know, Netanyahu's done this before, you know, when there was an attack in Paris, you know, he showed up with his cameraman, and they just sort of came out of the crowd and started leading a march, you know, saying, like, here we are. He wasn't officially invited to be in this march, but all of a sudden now he's, in a sense, leading it. And that was the same thing that happened in Russia. You know, they had a march celebrating, they had their Victory Day, which was a celebration of the Russian people, you know, the war heroes and the people who supported them in Russia during World War II. And here is Netanyahu again trying to position himself at the front of the parade, you know, saying like, we really celebrate, when you were, you know, killing the Nazis, I mean, that was a good thing. But I listened to quite a few people who are saying, well, what was all that about? Here they're letting him march. And as one commentator said, you know, you've got to be kidding me. If anyone here believes that this is Netanyahu showing up being nice, you know, to Russians, they know in Russia, they know what's going on in Syria. They know why, you know, that Iran is just seen from the Israeli point of view as a stepping stone to Russia. And so there's no one's being fooled by this. And one commentator said, you know, the Zionist Jews are always celebrating, you know, telling us how happy they were that we lost millions fighting the Nazis. You know, because in a sense, the Germans saved the Bolsheviks from having to kill a whole bunch more Russian Christians themselves. So, you know, there are a lot of people when they saw Netanyahu there, they didn't say, uh-oh, you know, he and Putin are buddies. They just said, this is how he operates. and you know, let him do. And if you were listening very closely, I watched a very interesting exchange. You know, after the parade celebration, and it was a very large parade. Western media just said, "Oh, Putin was just showing all of his arms because he's getting ready to take over the world again." But what actually happened is after the parade, Bibi immediately jumped up and sort of glued himself to Putin and was walking not with a group of people, but he was walking right next to Putin, and they were going to walk over from the the parade stand over to put a wreath.
And do you think that was pre-scripted, or was that Netanyahu ad-libbing?
Because that we know was Netanyahu trying. He was there with about four of his own photographers, and there was an incident when they were walking over to put this wreath on the unknown soldier that a major general who was 94 years old. He was, there in his uniform with medals all over his chest, and he came out of the group and started to go over to say hello. He was actually a friend. He, Putin actually knew him. And this was a highly decorated general who was 94 years old. And the West press said, and Putin's bodyguards manhandled him and pushed him away. And then Putin saw it and went over and shook his hand and invited him to walk with him over to the unknown soldier. Well, what actually happened was, if you look very closely, and people in Russia did, that the burly guard that actually stopped this guy and pushed him back was one of Netanyahu's personal bodyguards. Mm-hmm. And if you saw where Netanyahu was walking, there was about four or five photographers shooting him as being the center. They were, if you watch the cameras, they were shooting him, and he was smiling. And then when this incident happened, Putin saw this behind him, and he went over and shook this general's hand and invited him to walk with him. Mm-hmm. And the general came over, and Netanyahu was sort of like, get behind us. And Putin actually took the general by the hand and pulled him in between Putin and Netanyahu. Mm-hmm. And there was this great look on Netanyahu's face when he continued to walk across Red Square, kind of isolated by himself, while these two gentlemen, Putin and this major general, 94-year-old major general, talked. And the general afterwards said that Putin was very concerned, "How is your health?" And it was a great expression on Netanyahu's face, where here he was walking alone, and next to him was Putin and this general. And of course, afterwards, the Israeli press said this was probably staged, and it was all staged. And you can't trust the Nazis, or wait a minute, not Nazis, the commies. Well, wait, no, the Russians. But it was very graphic. Display of this thing was Bibi and Putin discussing, their gameplay, or was this just basically Putin saying, "Well, since you invited yourself, come on and do your best."
You don't hear this in our media, and I'm so glad that you follow the Russian press and follow the foreign press and are able to bring this to the table. It's because it's really, really important. There's hardly anybody else capable of doing it. You have, I talk about Stephen F. Cohen, but it's good to have somebody like you who's not from, the establishment, even though I still respect Professor Cohen, but somebody to look at this. And, of course, if you watch Russian television, they have these discussions.
And if you saw the video clips that were played in Russia of the meeting, Putin was not sitting there, saying, "Hey, Bibi, how's it going?" He had a very stern look on his face, and Bibi was, doing his little used car sales pitch about how, "Don't you see this is a win-win situation?" And behind the scenes, you know, another thing that's happening behind the scenes is you have to understand that...
Hey, we're about to go off the break. Could you tell us that after the break?
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back to the show. Back to National Bugle Radio on the Public Broadcasting Network. I'm Patrick Slattery. I'm with William in from Montana. And William, I want you to continue. There's one thing I just want to mention, a little announcement. I just came across the news that in Malaysia, former Prime Minister, the good Dr. Mohamed Mahathir, has been sworn in. He is now head of the country again. I know I'll be talking about that on my show for tomorrow. I just wanted to mention it now. Please continue with what you were saying, William.
Well, I think that, you know, we're really much of what's going on in the world. I really don't have much time for American press. It really has become so farcical that it's even hard for me to even take notes on it. And what's interesting is that what I see, like, you know, everyone is saying, well, why didn't Putin, you know, tell Bibi where to get off? And it's like, well, he's sort of already doing that himself, because the U.S. leaving, Dmitry Peskov, said just yesterday.
Dmitry who?
Dmitry Peskov. He's the spokesman, Kremlin spokesman.
Okay.
And he went into detail about talking about how this whole U.S. leaving Iran nuclear deal is basically just, you know, protectionism. And that it really, America has really, or the United States has really become very, in violation of so many international rules that many of the people in Europe, you know, Belgium, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, many of these countries are saying, wait, you just can't pull out of one of these deals. It wasn't a deal between you. As you portray it, as Trump portrays it, as a deal between, you know, Obama and Iran, this was a deal that was, you know, actually worked on for quite some time. Hmm. And it says this just shows...
Sanctioned by the UN Security Council for what that's worth.
Yes, and also these other nations. Now, Iran basically said that they were going to stay in the deal if Germany and France, and I mean, here are some of the allies that we were depending upon, you know, to do our bidding, and even England and France and Germany have said, this isn't going to be good for anybody, because, and then just today, the Treasury Department said that they were going to institute new sanctions on anyone who, on Iran, but also anyone who does business with them. And that caused another uproar this morning in countries that say, we really are working with Iran. After this deal was done, it really led to a lot of international economic exchanges that were beneficial to Europe. And so they're saying, you're not the economic police. The United States is basically, and what some other commentators in Russia have pretty much said is that what the United States is doing is that, America first has really turned out to be America alone.
Well, thank you so much. Mr. T is letting me know that the show is over, but
okay,
I want to thank you, William, and Paul, my big brain callers. I've got other big brain callers, but this was a great show. Please spread this show around. There's good stuff going on RBN, and I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.